Revenue Rhino, I'm Brad Hammond, and this is the Lifelong Customer Podcast. We're interviewing successful sales and marketing leaders and discussing ways in which they're building lifelong relationships with their customers. Welcome to the Lifelong Customer Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Hammond.
And I'm your co-host, Ice Artificio.
And today we have Joanne Moretti. Joanne, it's really nice to have you on. And Joanne, you're from DecisionLink.
Thank you so much, Brad. I'm really pleased to be here. It's an honor.
Yeah, really excited.
We're super excited to hear more from you. But for starters, can you tell us more about yourself and an overview of DecisionLink?
I'd love to. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So I'm Joanne Moretti. I have been in the high-tech space and manufacturing. Spent 5 years in manufacturing as well, but I've been in the high-tech space primarily in the software world and more currently SaaS world. And I have been in sales, marketing and product management my entire career, which is over 30 years. I had started as a sales rep. So I worked 16 years in selling, and then I moved over to sales enablement and marketing. I started my career in sales at CA, Computer Associates, and had an amazing career there. I started as a sort of junior pre-sales engineer, actually, and then moved over to sales and just had a wonderful career with CA. Spent a good portion of my time there, to be honest with you. And then I moved to HP and I did some really interesting things. I built the HP Sales University. So I took what I knew, and what they were interested in is how to do solution selling and how to manage large accounts. And so I took everything that I had learned at CA in my pre-sales and sales and sales management roles, and I applied them and brought a lot of great resources in from all kinds of different companies. And we built the HP Sales University and had tremendous success there. And we saw a huge transformation in the sales motion. And then I went to Dell. I was Dell's chief marketing officer for the software business there. And then I did something really different and went to Jabil. And Jabil is the second largest manufacturing solutions company in the world. They build a lot of the products that you use every day that you don't know that they build for other companies, other brands they support. So I learned all about that world and applied all my marketing and sales skills there to run. I was the chief marketing officer and the head of sales enablement for Jabil. And we grew that business while I was there, from a $15 billion company to a $23 billion company. So I was so happy to be part of that team that was undergoing this Salesforce transformation. And I was so excited to be part of this team that made that happen. We really set this whole trajectory up and it was so exciting.
Very cool.
Great. Yeah. It looks like you've had such an amazing journey. So what is sales and marketing right now looking like in DecisionLink? I know 2020, 2021 has rocked everything. So how did that change? What are your challenges?
Everything's changing, Ice. Everything. Oh my goodness. So DecisionLink is perfectly positioned and we're in a very unique position right now. We're perfectly positioned for what's happening in sales right now. Because like the old days when I used to sell and some of my cohorts, we had the luxury of being face-to-face with customers. We didn't have to do virtual selling. I was originally from Canada, so I brought customers to hockey games. I brought customers to Blue Jays games. We had dinners together. We strategized things together, built relationships face-to-face, high touch, right? That's not the case anymore. And so what's happened is, and why we're so well positioned is because DecisionLink, as you see behind me, is all about value. We help automate business value conversations at any point in the customer journey. What do I mean by that? So if someone wants to build some messaging and marketing, they're in marketing, they want to build some messaging and content. A lot of the content these days kind of sounds Me Too-ish. Everybody sounds the same. Oh, digital transformation, and we can help you do all these things. And they all sound the same. But you notice that the content that has quantitative information blended in to the qualitative information is really powerful and catches people's attention. That's us. We can help marketers quantify value and build really compelling case studies and case studies that say not just how someone helped a customer, how a company helped a customer, but to what extent and what value, what economic impact was realized. That's what we do on the marketing front. We actually help people all the way through the funnel. So I'll start with the marketing. The other thing we help marketers do is we build the most incredible smart web calculator. So it's not like this boring old calculator that you have to put 20 or 30 answers in. You put a couple of pieces of information in, and our smart web calculator leverages the value cloud, which is our solution, the value cloud to go figure out what the model is, and then gives the customer the output based on their industry, based on the different specifications that they put in. And what happens from there is that output that's created can go to the customer, the visitor that's doing the smart web calculation, the little ROI simulation on your website. They can press a button and they can say, I want that. When they press that button and say, I want the answer in a PDF, they get it automatically. But guess what happens? Because our web calculator is integrated into the value cloud, that output also goes over to an SDR, or it goes over to an ISR, or it goes over to the AE, however you've set up your lead flow. So we have integration between the DecisionLink web calculator and Marketo, Eloqua, Pardo, whatever you use, it doesn't, HubSpot, whatever you use, we integrate with it, and all the information, contact information that was captured and all of the output that was created during that web simulation, that ROI simulation, goes to the rep. So what's happening? We're creating a thread of value, right? This thread of value now goes to the rep. The rep can pick up the phone and say, hey, I know you were on my website. I know you did an ROI calculation. Can we just hammer this out a little bit more and see if this is the real value you can get from my solution? Customer's like, yeah, I just did that. Let's work on this, right? And so they can work on it some more. And in through a portal, they can actually iterate together. So if some of the information needs to be tweaked or what have you, rates, metrics, things have to be tweaked. Like, no, I don't pay that much for this FTE. I pay this much. Or no, I don't do this many of those. I do this many. So together with the rep, you can iterate and create a hypothesis of value. The next thing is the customer goes, wow, if I buy your solution, I'm going to get $10 million in ROI. I'm going to save this much. I'm going to add this much to the top line. All of these bits of information come out and they're ready to go get approval. And so the rep can say at that point, okay, we just did this and we have a one-page output. Would you like a business case? We can pop out a 20-page business case. Looks like an Accenture quality business case. You can take it to the CFO. So the customer's like, yeah, the buyer's like, yeah, let's do that. So press a button, you get a 20-page business case based on all that iteration and collaboration that was done. And now this buyer can go with confidence to the CFO, to the line of business leader, whoever owns the approval, and get an approval on this business case. So you see, from start to deal close, we talk in business value. We help people have business value conversations and we automate this process. Now it gets better. It gets better. When the deal is sold, if a rep says, okay, let's manage and monitor the value that they're achieving with our solution, because I need to go cross-sell and upsell them more. This isn't over yet. I got a lot more to sell them that's on the truck. We have a feature called value realization. So you can take the original model that was built, propagate it over to the value realization app. Value realization sees it and can start tracking value realized based on input from the base system. So if their base system is a security system, digital manufacturing system, a healthcare, whatever that base system is, we can tap into it, pick up the data and say, oh, this customer transacted 50 times on your system this past month. 50 times the value means, oh my goodness, they saved $250,000 this year using. So we can continually track value. That has all kinds of implications. All kinds. Number one, when I go in to renew the contract, I have leverage. Now I know what value you're getting from my system. That's a miracle. If I was still a salesperson and I had that, or a sales leader and I had that, and my number is tied to renewals, it's a miracle. Mm-hmm. Number two, I know, right? Number two, if I'm a product marketer and I want to do value-based pricing, I have data. One of our customers has 2 million more points of data on how customers are getting value from their solutions mm-hmm. than they had before, 6 months ago.
Wow.
I know. So now I can say, all my customers are getting this much value. Hey, I can change things about my go-to-market. I can change the pricing structure. I can change things, my messaging. I can do things. I know the value that my customers are getting en masse, all my customers, not just one. So in any event, value is magic and we're pulling it through the entire sales cycle. Why is that important right now? Because I can't have those regular bonding moments with my client. I got to talk about something to get them trusting me and loving me and everything else so I can talk about value. And exactly. I don't know if I can share it with you, but I can show you what one of these outputs looks like. So watch this. I can now build, for example, all kinds of content using real quantified data. So marketers love this because now look at this case study. Now I can put a case study with real quantified data in it. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what the Value Cloud helps you do. Once that visitor turns into, you know, converts into a really good lead, they can, you know, try this web calculator. And this is on my website if you want to try it. So then, like I said, look at this. As a rep gets that lead and starts to work with the customer and iterate with them, this is the kind of output without touching anything, just clicking in some of the variables. This is the kind of output a rep can sit down and have a high touch conversation or on a Zoom, have a conversation and say, you know, we did a value hypothesis on you and look at what we got. Oh, and by the way, for every 3 months you don't buy my solution, you're going to be spending extra $656,000. I mean, if that's not a hook, I don't know what is. So now we're not talking features and functions anymore. We're talking business value. And guess what happens when you talk business value? You leave your competition in the dust because they're still talking features and functions. You're talking numbers, right?
True.
So that value hypothesis can be turned into this beautiful 25-page business case. You win the deal, you implement the deal, and now here's the value realization. Now I can turn this tracking on. I can bring this report or dashboard to the QBR meetings. I bring it to my renewal meetings, bring it to my cross-sell, upsell meetings. Say, look at all the value you're already getting from me. You should renew or you should buy more. And we can track. And this is all real. We have tons of customers. If you go to our customer page, I won't go there right now, but if you go to our customer page, you'll see our customers at ServiceNow is one of our biggest customers. They've got 1,000 reps using this in self-serve mode. They don't even need a value engineer anymore. They just go on the portal and pull these value hypotheses off. Right? CrowdStrike is the same thing. CrowdStrike, in a case study that's on our website, talks about that they impacted their revenue in 2020 by $189 million by using wow. Value Cloud and value-based selling. It's a phenomenon. Wow. It's real. It's happening. And if you don't start doing it, you know, companies that have large sales forces or even small ones don't start value selling in this day and age where everything needs a business case, right? You can't go to a CFO now without a business case.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not doing this as a sales team, you're going to be left out. So that's what I'm passionate about right now because it's everything I wanted when I was a sales rep. I had one guy that would write business cases for me. And when the rest of the world, I was at CA, and it was so funny, when the rest of the world found out about him, I had to wait in line. Well, dude, take a number. You know, I got like 1,000 sales reps or 500 sales reps at CA that are asking me to do business cases for them. I can only do so many. And it took 2 to 3 weeks, right? Because, you know, you've got to find the metrics. You've got to find all this. And then you got to get a marketer to make it, somebody to make it all beautiful and put it in a package with meaningful messaging. So that's what I'm passionate about. And sorry, I went on and on about that, but it's a thing. And it's especially a thing right now because of the whole COVID and lockdown and work from home.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we got a couple minutes left here in the podcast and wanted to really just ask you about community building. So I know one of your personal initiatives, you've created something called the Butterfly in a Community. Tell us a little bit about that. And for other marketers out there, tell us about how you went about creating a community and really growing it and all that.
Thank you so much for asking me about that. That's my passion. I feel like I've been so blessed and privileged, I guess, when you really come down to it. I've definitely had my share, and that I want to share with others. I want to help others. And so the butterfly is my way of inspiring women in technology, because we're still so outnumbered. There's still so many men versus women that I want to help women aim higher. That's the point of the butterfly. And the butterfly theory was about far away somewhere, a few butterflies getting together and their wings fluttering and that creating a storm somewhere else. It's the same thing. If a few of us can do small things, just small little things, that it could end up impacting someone in a big way. If you just stop and help someone and give them a piece of advice, like someone called me today at 10 o'clock this morning. I spent a half an hour on the phone with her, and she's between careers. It's like, what should I do? And we talked about all the things that are so great about her and what lights her up and what makes her special. And that the fact that there's huge demand for what she has, her capabilities, right? And she felt so good, because when something happens and there's turnover, there's layoff or something like that, your confidence goes out the window. Or if you don't get a promotion that you wanted to get, you know, you go home, you're crying, you're banging yourself against the, you know, head against the wall. You know, you're like, why didn't I get that job or what have you? And we need each other to talk to each other during these times and support each other. Women need to support each other. And unfortunately, I'm going to tell you something. Women don't always support each other. Women are actually, I think, sometimes a worse enemy than a man in a workplace. And there's reasons for that. I did some research on that with a PhD friend of mine. And we actually did a research paper together on it. And I hope to put it into a book. But the fact is that men are not the problem. Women are the problem. And they hurt each other. And it's terrible. And so my whole thing with the butterfly is, please, women, there's so few of us. We have to help each other. We have to inspire each other. That's what the genesis of the butterfly was. And that small little motions and small nice things and helping one another when we're down, or even just helping people make decisions, mentoring, because that's what mentoring is, right? Mentoring is really those decision points in life. So I built the butterfly. It's on LinkedIn. Anybody's welcome to join. It's not just women. And we try to put inspirational thoughts, ideas, best practices, jobs. Hey, does anyone need so-and-so, or I'm looking for so-and-so, and I put people together. And so a lot of magic has happened that way on site. So yeah, I think it's a passion for me, because I have a daughter too. And selfishly, I hope that there's someone there for my daughter when she needs someone in the workplace. She just graduated from law school and she starts a new job at a firm this month. So I'm pretty excited for her. Yeah. So I wanted to help other women so that hopefully someday someone will help my daughter if she needs it. And I just want to help other women, because I've had so many good mentors in my life and my career was shaped by them. And I can list them off. You know, one of them, rest her soul, she passed away last year and she changed my life. She changed my life. So I think mentors are so important, and I don't think one is enough. I think you need I call them your personal board of directors. I think you need a board of directors. I think you need at least four, so that you can get different ideas and perspectives, and then you make your own decision. But it's good to have people inside, outside work, family. Important to have a variety of people. Totally. So those are my thoughts on women in technology and my butterfly and why I built it. It's our butterfly. Please join. It's on LinkedIn. It's got a nice little pretty picture of a butterfly on it. There's, I think, 430 women on it right now and climbing every day and sharing, sometimes tears, you know, and people are happy, or it's a lot of just a variety of emotions, but we're all there to support each other. And I'm real proud of the work that I do offline mentoring and on the butterfly.
Very cool.
That's amazing. We'll make sure to add a link to the butterfly at this post so people can find it. And we're definitely looking forward to that book someday.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And what I say to women, and here's how I bring value and women together. Speak in the language of business value. Try hard, because that is what's going to level the playing field. When you speak in ROI and EPS and free cash flow and all those types of things, EBITDA, that's the big one. Understand what EBITDA means and tie yourself into those numbers. So people understand the value of you. And so I think that how I tie these two things together is Decision Link and my butterflies. Speaking the language of business, you level off the playing field. You're not male, you're not female at that point. You're a business person. Mm-hmm. And people will take you seriously and your career will grow. And that's how mine grew. So that's my last sort of word on, you know, advice.
Thank you so much, Joanne. This has been amazing to have you on and really appreciate all your words of wisdom and thoughts here.
Thank you so much, Brad. And I really enjoyed it. I hope I didn't talk too much.
No, this was great. Thank you.